Hello, it's Connor, one half of your favorite set of twins, Connor and Dylan McDowell, the hosts of this very podcast, Drama. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're absolutely going to love this episode with Jason Gotay. You've got a crush on him. It's about to get even bigger. So get ready. He's also starring in Floyd Collins this season at Lincoln Center Theater, and it's going to be such a huge gag. Oh my God, I cannot wait to see it. Okay, you're here for Jason. Maybe you're here for the twins, but I want to tell you about something else that you're definitely going to be here for. Our Patreon. That's right. We have a bonus content platform called Drama Plus, where for $5 a month, you get access to bonus episodes where Dylan and I chit chat about all things theater, pop culture, love life, et cetera, et cetera. You know the drill. But you also get added to our Instagram close friends, where we spill the in the moment tea of day in, day out. You're absolutely going to love it. We love you for loving it and for supporting the pod. So go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast to become a member of the Drama Plus fam and get ready for this amazing episode with Jason. All right, we love you. It's time for the show.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take a spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey. Say no more.
Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, we have yet to discuss this on the main podcast feed. I know it's been all a buzz on Drama Plus, shameless plug for our Patreon.
Period.
Everyone's been talking about this Best Actress Tony's race this season. And, you know, we're in the spring season now. A few more contenders have opened up. I just want to know, do a little pulse check. Where are you at?
Well, okay. People have been talking about this race since before last season's race.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We knew Sunset was coming with Nicole. We knew Gypsy was coming with Audra. You know, and plus all the other shows, Adina with Redwood. We thought Kristen and Queen of Versailles was coming this season. Now we know it's coming next year. But
that's right.
I would still say that Nicole in Sunset and Audra and Gypsy are that's our two front runners, right?
Sure.
In my opinion. In my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, granted, we haven't seen any of the other than Megan Hiltzy, who you've been solidly rooting for since December.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, although I heard that they're trying to put Jen Samard also in lead for Death Becomes Her.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, that's wild to me because she could.
They both feel like leads to me.
They do both feel like leads, but I think you could argue that Jen's character is just a little bit more supporting than Megan's based. I don't know, even especially based on the film Death Becomes Her, whatever. Anyway. I think Nicole is winning. Where can I get this hat aside? I still think Nicole is winning.
Wow. Okay.
In March 2025.
I might be with you right now. You know, we spoke with Leslie Margarita recently, and she revealed to us how humble and kind Audra is, which we'd always assumed.
Of course. Of course. Of course.
And I have a feeling that Audra doesn't even care about awards.
She's got a lot of them. She should have more.
Well, obviously. But yeah. I just have a feeling, you know, she doesn't even care. And not to say that she's not going to do the whole campaign and go along with it, but maybe that humbleness would appeal to people being like, you know, let's just give it to her because she deserves it. I mean, she's unreal in that show.
Yeah, I know. She is so good. She's so good. But we don't know what's going to happen. Like you said, we got like Robin Herder in Smash.
Yeah.
We've got Jasmine Amy Rogers in Boop.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Adina potentially in Redwood being in the conversation. I'm trying to think of what else is.
There's Real Women Have Curves. It's going to be opening up. There's a bunch of new musicals. You know, we're talking revivals. There might be a female lead in Floyd Collins. I got to be honest. I don't know. I know Lizzie McAlpine is in it, but I don't know if that's
is
a lead or
Lizzie lead. We don't know yet. We'll know soon, though.
We'll know soon.
Because previews are starting.
But Connor, I just have to say, another dream guest on Drama today. Someone we've loved forever. Someone whose song in Bring It On, the musical, was on my Spotify top five songs probably a decade after it came out. It was one of those.
And still is every year, right?
It is, because I think that like Spotify just knows what I like and it just keeps mixing things in.
I know. And he's got the best voice.
Mm-hmm.
So dreamy.
Maybe one of my favorites.
I know. Speaking voice and singing voice. It's one of those seamless, you know. Dylan, would you do us the pleasure of bringing in our best lead actress in a musical on Drama today?
Our guest today is making his highly anticipated return to Broadway this spring in the Lincoln Center Theater revival of Floyd Collins. This stage and screen star has made a name for himself as a leading man in New York City and beyond, appearing on the reboot of Gossip Girl, starring as Che in Evita at New York City Center Encores, and most recently appearing in Teeth off Broadway. He made his Broadway debut in the original company of Bring It On the Musical, followed by Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, Irving Berlin's Call Me Madam, also at New York City Center, Transport Group's Renaissance, and more, including the concert events of A Little Night Music and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. He's appeared in the world premieres of Stephen Schwartz's The Prince of Egypt, Disney's Freaky Friday, and A Bronx Tale. You'll recognize him from NBC's Peter Pan Live, the film Spoiler Alert, and beyond. Our guest's autobiographical solo show, Where You'll Find Me, is now available on Audible. We know you're gagged he's here, so let's enjoy the trip. And please welcome to drama,
Jason Gauthier.
Did I really do all those things? Are you sure?
The rumors are true.
Okay, well, if you say so, I'll just believe it. Wow. Hi. Wow. Thank you guys so much for that introduction and for having me today. I'm truly very excited to talk to you guys.
Oh my God, we're so excited.
Pleasure's ours.
The vibes have already been great.
Yeah, the vibes are good, except now I'm very hyper aware of my speaking voice just because we've talked about it so much. So I'm gonna let that go, and I'm just gonna talk.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
No, you sound
Is
great.
There a lead actress in Floyd Collins?
I am the lead actress.
Period.
About it, of course.
Well, naturally. And I mean, to be in that category alongside all those women, what a dream. So many thoughts about the lead actress race, because at my core, I'm just a musical theater fangirl, basically, mm-hmm. like both of you. So I've been paying a lot of attention to the leading actresses of the season. And yeah, I have thoughts. I have thoughts.
Ooh, if you were to put money down today,
oof.
Who do you think?
I think I'd, oh my, am I allowed to be talking about this publicly?
I don't know. As someone who's has a horse in the race.
I truly have no idea.
In the season.
Oh my gosh. Well, I will say that I've seen both of those performances, Audra and Nicole, and they're both absolutely incredible. And whoever wins, I'll be thrilled for either of them. But Audra really blew my mind. And we can get into that later, but they're both phenomenal, of course.
I agree. Yeah. That's why it's so tough. It really is. Maybe people will have such a hard decision choosing that it'll be Megan Hilty.
Maybe. Crazier things have happened. She's also phenomenal. I mean, you really can't go wrong this season. I have to say, they're all amazing.
I know. It does feel like the year of the revival. And I'm really, really excited about that. There's just been so many incredible revivals. Gypsy, Sunset, Floyd Collins.
I have friends in Pirates of Penzance, which is coming.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very excited about that, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the season is really popping off, I have to say.
And you're back on Broadway. Jace, are you well?
Oh, my gosh. Sure? Question mark? Like, are any of us well? No, of course I'm not well. No. Completely unwell. No, I mean, look, I'm very lucky right now in that I have an amazing job that I love that is bringing me joy. I have people in my life that make me really happy. So amidst the crazy, turbulent time we are living in, I feel like we've been saying that for years.
I know, right?
In the midst of these really challenging times, I feel like it's it's right since 2020, the past 5 years. It's like that it's kind of been the umbrella we're all living under. So I feel very privileged to be provided for, to have a job that I love in a crazy time for the business and the world. So I'm just taking my joy where I can find it right now. But yes, the short answer is I'm well.
It's a complicated question.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I imagine you guys get a variety of answers to that one.
We
it's,
do.
It's that lately though. Like basically what you just said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Everyone's what the fuck is happening? Has it ever been this crazy? Like you think it can't get crazier than a pandemic and then it somehow does and has and we're in it. Like I've been asking a lot of the people in my life who are like older colleagues or my parents. And I've been saying, asking them, has it ever been this bad or has it ever been this crazy? And they're like, no, it hasn't. This is the craziest time of our lives. Yeah.
Oof. I don't love hearing that. I don't love hearing that.
I know. But they always are like, but you know what? We've been through so much. We'll push through. Like everything always swings back and forth, or you have to hope that it will. So
yeah, I do think it will. And that is why it's all the more important to continue to cultivate joy and do what makes you happy and have conversations like this where we can just gab about leading actress in a musical category. Like, you know what I mean? Like just, I think anything that brings a smile to our faces is worth pursuing right now.
Yes. So. Oh, I absolutely agree. Wait, so, and you're currently in rehearsals for Floyd Collins.
We just finished our third week and tomorrow we start week four. So we're in it. Yeah, we're deep in our process right now.
Oh my God.
And this is like a highly anticipated show. It's finally on Broadway is kind of like the whole narrative behind it because people have loved it. But it and it won like an off-Broadway. I think Lucille Lortel Award for Best Musical when it was first out, and but it never was on Broadway itself.
Yeah, this is the Broadway debut of Floyd Collins, which is really exciting. And it had a really short-lived run at Playwrights Horizons. I think it only ran about a month, maybe 30-something performances. Not because it didn't do well, but because at Playwrights Horizons, you only run a certain amount of time. So they had their short, brief run, and they made this cast album that became really popular over the years. And yeah, a lot of hardcore musical theater nerds really love it, and they're excited to see it come back to New York after 30 years. And it's the 100-year anniversary of Floyd Collins' death. Spoiler alert. Sorry. Oops. Well, hey, you find that out pretty early on. And it's a true story. It's a true story. You can Google it.
Yeah, it's like a movie or a series. When it's been out a couple of years, you can't, there's no such thing as a spoiler alert with, you know. And I feel like that's a part of the concept of the show, right?
I mean, everyone knows it's the tragic tale of this man who met his end in this really remarkable way. But yeah, 1925. So we're 100 years later, which is kind of, yeah, kismet in a way. It's really perfect timing.
Oh my gosh. What was your relationship to the material before you got cast in this?
To be honest, I didn't have much of one. When I was growing up, I was really like obsessed with Jason Robert Brown. I knew Adam Gettle's work through Light in the Piazza, which I was lucky enough to see at Lincoln Center when I was in high school. I went to a performing arts high school in Midtown Manhattan. I was born and raised in New York, and so I was seeing Broadway shows all the time. And the obscure musical theater that I was into in high school was Sondheim and The Last 5 Years and Songs for New World. And I'd always heard about Floyd Collins as one of those shows that you simply have to know. But for whatever reason, I just never like got around to it almost. But I'd heard for years, you have to play this role, you have to sing those songs. And when this revival came around, I had been told so many times over the years, you have to be in Floyd Collins, that I immediately felt like, oh, I think this could be a fit. And before I auditioned, I went to the Performing Arts Library at Lincoln Center and I watched the original production, which I love to do. It's one of my favorite things ever to go in that little room with these like huge screens and the headphones, and you sit and you can explore the archives of Broadway and off-Broadway shows that have been filmed. And I got to watch the original production. And so I came to it with fresh eyes, which I think was actually really helpful. Both in my audition process and now that I'm in rehearsal, I don't have a really kind of intense history with the piece, which I think allows it to breathe a little bit more. So yeah, it's pretty new for
Oh, that's
me.
so exciting. And which character are you playing?
I play Homer Collins, which is Floyd's younger brother.
Ooh. See, I'm actually going into the piece cold too. Other than hearing that popular song that everyone loves, what is it called again? Where
How Glory
I was going to say
Goes.
Where Glory Goes, but it's How Glory Goes, in fact. I don't really know much about it, other than I know it was like the first media frenzy, right? That's the other hook to the show. Okay.
The first big kind of like American media circus, really, where the press kind of, swarmed this area of Kentucky where this was all going on. And it was, before there was obviously social media, or, people were getting their news from the radio, telegrams, and it was just on front page of every newspaper across the country, and people were really following this story. It's a crazy little bit of history that's really exciting to learn about,
And
actually.
is Homer like searching for his? He's like, we gotta get Floyd safe home. Like, is he like in the front of the, in front of the
Oh,
journalists
totally.
trying to rally the
Yeah,
troops?
he's kind of the leader of the rescue mission a little bit. He's Floyd's best friend in the world. They're brothers, they're soulmates, and Floyd Collins was a caver in Kentucky in the 1920s, and so was his brother, was a caver as well. And a part of what is so crazy about this story is that they didn't succeed in getting him out, but there were people coming from all over with different ideas of how to rescue him. And so it became this battle of the locals and the outsiders, people who were really connected to the land, who knew caves, who said, this is the way we should do it. Then there were people coming from the big city saying, no, we want to bring in machinery, we want to do it this way. And because of the kind of the, all of that turmoil, no one could really decide on the best plan to rescue this person. And so I'm one of the like central figures in this rescue mission gone awry. And it's a really interesting people study and what happens when, there's a terrible tragedy and different people have different ideas of how to go about solving it, which can ultimately lead to bigger problems, more conflict, and gives you a lot to think about.
And are you doing a Southern accent?
I am.
Yes.
We do have a dialect coach who is amazing. People should expect a dialect, but the show is kind of known for, especially on the cast recording, you hear very, very thick accents. And our creative team, who have all returned from the original production, are the director, the writer, the composer, and our music director all worked on the original production, and they're all back to do this, which is amazing. And they are interested in exploring a lighter touch of the dialect.
Nice.
So, you know, I'm not super worried about it. I'm just kind of working on impulse, and our dialect coach is great, but yeah.
Well, I know Jeremy Jordan he's from like some Corpus Christi, Texas.
He's from Texas.
Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's probably got his own version of a Southern accent he'll be working with.
Totally. Yeah. Luckily, everyone who's a part of it kind of has this natural way in. And I think we're all on the same page. So far, it's working pretty well.
I can totally see you and Jeremy as brothers, too, by the way.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny in the rehearsal room. Like the first time him and I were in the room together, Tina Landau, our director, and everyone in the cast was like, oh my God, I totally see it. I totally see it. Like people kind of started freaking out. Like, I guess I'd been told a couple of times over the years that there's a resemblance, but yeah, it's fun. And Lizzie McAlpine, who plays our sister, I think there is like a likeness between the three of us, which is really funny. So yeah, I mean, I think it's great casting and I'm obsessed with both of them. So I'm thrilled to be family, honestly.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Lizzie McAlpine has that great song, Ceilings.
And yes.
I heard it at a Chelsea Table and Stage cabaret like a year ago. And I was sobbing my eyes out while Sam Pauly, famous from Broadway's Six, was singing it.
Of course.
So I'm excited for Lizzie. That's going to be really, really fun. Obviously, Jeremy is amazing. It's going to be so good. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Now, we also just saw you in Teeth, which... Yes. Obsessed. Oh my God.
That's how we connected with you. We tagged you in an Instagram post
yes.
afterwards.
So I didn't meet you guys.
No, we were just like, we loved you in Teeth. And you were like, thank you.
Okay.
And
got
like,
it.
Come talk to us.
Sure. Oh yes. Right. I guess that happened.
And then like a day later, closing was announced. It was just a tragic series of events.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really unfortunate. My heart kind of breaks for that show because I think it deserved so much more. But of course, I feel really lucky that it got two productions and it got to transfer, and there's an amazing cast recording that everyone should check out, and that score is so brilliant. So it will live on, which is the most
totally.
Important thing.
Yeah.
I know. Yes. I know it will. But gosh, the songs were so good in Teeth.
Totally.
I remember seeing it at Playwrights and also going in blind, and I said this to Elise, so I'm like, I feel like I'm repeating myself on the show, so I'm so sorry, listeners. But I went in totally blind, cold to it. All I knew was that it was like totally sold out. I think my friend bought tickets on like a resale site because he was like, oh no, we have to go. Like,
oh, wow.
That was the only way we could get a ticket. And to say I was pleasantly shocked in every single way would be an understatement. It was just such a blast. And going in knowing nothing other than people were loving it was so crazy. The blood, the way the plot unraveled was just so wild. And my favorite kind of theater, just truly so fun to watch.
Yeah, it was a blast to do because everyone who saw it had that reaction. No one really knew what to expect. And it's a show that is so unlike really any other musical ever.
Yeah.
And it was so exciting for us to share it and to see people's reactions and the fans who were really excited about it. And that's one that I was working on for about 7 or 8 years. I had helped develop it over multiple readings and workshops. And Elise Allen Lewis, of course, our brilliant leading lady, had been developing it for far longer than that. I think maybe like 10 or 11 years, maybe more.
Yeah.
So to be with the piece for that long and to help develop it and really kind of share in the creative process with the writers and to see it through to its final stage was so exciting. I think it will forever be one of the coolest things I've ever done.
Aw, yeah. Were you intimidated by some of the, I don't want to give too many spoilers away, but I guess it's not currently running, but some of the material that you particularly had to participate in, was that intimidating?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, it was, especially because for so many years, we had just been doing readings and workshops of it. So anytime we would do some of those scenes where I was required to do some really vulnerable shit, we were at music stands and, you know, someone would say what we were doing, but we would never have to do any of that stuff. And I remember being in rehearsal on our first day for Playwrights Horizons thinking, holy fuck, I actually have to do those things now. How the heck is that going to work? We're going to be doing what in a lake, and there's going to be water and there's going to be blood and I'm going to be naked. And Wait, what? So I guess like I knew on some level, but I hadn't really accepted the reality that I was going to be on stage doing all of those things. But luckily, our intimacy coordinator, Krista Marie Jackson, was a genius. And she happened to be an old friend of mine who I'd known for over 10 years. And our director, Sarah Benson, there were so many hands on deck to make sure we felt as safe as possible. And so, of course, it ended up feeling totally fine. But it was intimidating. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
I could imagine. Oh, my gosh.
Now, were you really naked in the scene at the lake?
Almost entirely, yes. I was wearing a modesty garment, which is basically a flap of fabric that is covering just your bits. So, wow. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too graphic, but yeah, it's like
taped. Yeah, children it's listening.
It's taped to, well, no, of course. Yeah, well, oh my gosh, don't listen to teeth. Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty tiny little piece of fabric that was covering me and taped, you know, in between my legs. And there were some nights where it would become untaped from my skin. Yeah, crazy, crazy shit was happening back there. But we always made it through. Yeah, the joy of live theater. Crazy times. Wow. Crazy times.
Yeah, I'm curious. So the show was an open-ended run. Were you hypothetically going to be leaving at some point to do Floyd Collins?
Yeah, I was set to be leaving very early February because I was going to start February 18th was our first rehearsal for Floyd Collins. So I was planning to be with it all through January. And then we found out that we would be closing January 5th. So even my time in the show was cut short. And yeah. I was sad. Of course, I felt very lucky that I had something else to move on to. But I was really devastated for the show and for our cast because they all deserved more. But yeah, no, I was going to be hanging around for a while. So it was a bummer.
Yeah.
You really played that like straight jock high school role very, very well. Kudos to you.
Well, thank you so much. what can I say? That is such a shock because that could not be further from who I am or who I was in high school. So that is hilarious. I don't know how that happened. But yeah, I mean, Toby and Teeth, he was a jock and captain of the basketball team or whatever, but he was also a very sweet, earnest, very confused and very like frustrated teenage boy. And that vulnerability and, you know, not really knowing who you are yet and having all of these feelings and things going on in your body that you don't really know what to do with, anyone can relate to that. So that was kind of my way in. And he was such an interesting character to play because he does this terrible thing, but ultimately he wants to do the right thing. And I just found that so devastating. And I really learned to love him. He's a sweetie little boy who does a really bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Haven't we all done bad things? You know, we're all flawed human beings.
And it's all just misdirected shame and fear, which is one of the big messages from the show. But anyway, yeah. Sweet Toby. I miss him.
What were you like in high school? You said you went to a performing arts school. Were you out when you were in school?
No. I was straight until I was, I guess, 19. It was freshman year of college where I finally moved away from home for the first time. That is where I kind of came into myself. I had inklings.
Us too. Same thing. We were 19.
Oh, really?
Freshman year.
Until we moved to college.
Yeah. Yep. Gay by May. Mm-hmm. It is that way for many people. That was
I love that. I've never heard that.
Yeah. But what's funny for me is I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and I grew up in a pretty conservative part of Brooklyn, but I went to a performing arts high school in Midtown Manhattan where we had kids from all walks of life, and there were queer kids, and there were kids before non-binary was a term that you were hearing. There were people all across the gender spectrum. So I was exposed to, you know, all different sorts of people, but even still, I wasn't able to free myself quite yet. Yeah. And everyone in their own time, you know, whenever all of us are ready to kind of step into that, you know, hopefully we will. And when I did, I had all the support in the world. But I was a theater kid. I was a total theater kid. And I was obsessed with everything musical theater. And yeah, I was still finding it, you know. Mm-hmm.
Were you at LaGuardia Performing Arts?
I was at PPAS, Professional PPAS. Performing Arts School.
Okay.
Which is, West 48th Street. It's a very tiny school. We had about maybe 400 kids in our whole school, where LaGuardia had like 4,000 kids. So we were very, very small, amazing training, some of the best theater training I've ever had, honestly. Yeah, I loved it, but it was wild because they would let us out for lunch every day. So at 11 a.m., you would just have like I don't know, a bunch of 13-year-olds running down 9th Avenue to McDonald's or whatever. Like it was crazy. It was actually
It's still
crazy.
there, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And they still have a great program. And yeah, it was just a wild experience because so unlike anyone else's high school experience, very singular
Yeah.
in how it was, but I loved it.
Was there a moment that, where you were bitten by the bug? We call it the Ring of Keys moment, where you realized that a life in the arts was gonna be the one you'd pursue. You obviously grew up in New York, but was there a specific like performance or moment or something that you can track back to?
Well, I hate to be a cliche, but it was The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, I love that.
It
The
was The Wizard
best.
of Oz at a very early age. I think I was 2 or 3 years old and I saw it for the first time on a VHS cassette tape, if anyone listening even remembers what those are. And I would watch the movie, and at the very end, I would beg my mom to rewind and start it again. Like I would
Oh.
watch it on a loop. And of course, like Dorothy was my first love. I was just like totally enamored with her. I wrote a whole one-man show about it.
What was it
Yeah.
called?
Well, that's what Where You'll Find Me, my
Oh.
Audible show. That's all about like my journey to kind of finding myself and queer acceptance. And the show is a love letter to all of the women in my life, starting with Dorothy Gale, who I like. I start the show, and it's called Where You'll Find Me, which is, of course, a lyric from Summer of the Rainbow.
Yeah.
And yeah, something about that story and this girl living in this black and white world who dreamed of getting out and kind of finding herself. And she goes to this colorful land and she meets all these people who become her chosen family. And she realizes at the end everything she ever needed was inside of her all along. Like there was something about that
Okay, I'm
story.
sobbing, like literally full body chills right now.
But seriously, I mean, I think that it's such a beacon for queer people, that movie. I think there's something about it that we all connect to, regardless of where we're from. We all want to
Yeah.
find that place where we can be ourselves and where we can find the people who will support us and help us get there. Anyway, we're getting deep, but
I
hello.
love it.
Welcome.
Where was that place for you? Was it PPAS or was it maybe when you got to college?
I mean, it was theater for me, which I was doing. From the time I was very young, I had a really supportive mother who put me in piano lessons and voice lessons and sent me to music school. And I got involved with community theater at a very early age. And so that kind of became my happy place where I started to figure out who I was.
Oh, that's so
Yeah.
nice. And then Bring It On came after college, right?
Right after college, I graduated in May and I left school a little early to go to a production of Rent in Salt Lake
Well,
City.
when Rent calls, you have to do it.
You
Yeah.
must answer. You simply must. That was
Who
my.
were you?
I played Angel, actually,
Ooh.
which is hilarious. I was the tallest angel you've ever seen in your life, like 6 feet tall, wearing 5.5 inch platform heels. I was a tower. And I went to do that. That was an amazing production, actually. Andy Mientis was our Mark, and
Gosh.
Nick Walker from Hamilton's Spamalot. He was my
Yeah,
Collins.
yeah.
He's a dear friend of mine. So we all got to do that together. And then I came home, and I think a month or two later was when Bring It On happened.
Oh my goodness. And were you part of the touring version of that before it
Oh,
ended up in New York?
yes.
Okay, because I know that it went through a lot of changes and
Yeah, it was a really unique thing in that, our preview period was our tour, basically. So all throughout the 9 months that we were on tour, our creative team would come every few cities and they would make little changes along the way, little cuts, little line changes. And then, of course, when we went back into rehearsal for Broadway, there were a bunch more changes, but they really took their time kind of finding what the show was and developing an audience for it. And I think it really served it in the end.
I
Yeah.
wish so wish that I could have seen it. I it looked like just one of the most amazing. I mean, I remember the Tony's performance was
Yeah.
unreal.
Totally. Yeah, it was a blast and it was incredible for me. I mean, I had the easiest track in that show. I didn't do any stunting, any cheerleading, barely any choreography. So I was just, yeah, kind of stunned by what I was watching these athletes do 8 times a week. I mean, that's an athletic sport. Like, I don't know, no other sport does 8 games a week. Do you know what I mean? But
Yeah.
these cheerleaders who were national champions were getting out there and doing it every day. It was incredible to watch.
Did you watch Cheer on Netflix when it came out? Of
Obviously.
course, of
Oh, and
course.
I was brought right back. Actually, I think one of our cheerleaders was on that show, later became like a coach and a choreographer, Dalston Delgado, his name is.
Okay. Okay.
And he became
Wow.
like, yeah, big time cheer choreographer. And so he was on the show, which was super cool.
He
Yeah.
knew Coach Monica. He knew Monica.
He did.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I
That's
know. Icon.
so
Truly.
what was it like to be that young? Being the leading man in your first outing on Broadway.
Really intimidating, really hard. Not really for the reasons you'd expect. I mean, we were all learning how to do 8 times a week, and that was definitely a challenge, figuring out the stamina that was required and how to take care of my body and my voice. But I was also young and so intimidated by the whole experience that I remembered not really being myself. I was really nervous the whole time, and I had trouble connecting with people because I was so worried about proving myself, the whole time, and I wasn't really sharing who I was, and I just was nervous a lot of the time. And so the biggest challenge for me was just trusting that I was enough, letting go of that imposter syndrome. And, because they cast a bunch of unknowns, they
Right.
plucked Taylor Lautner out of school. I was right out of school. A lot of us were really, really green. And so we showed up every day feeling like we had to prove ourselves. And that kind of becomes an obstacle for you, just being your best self. And so I remember it being a really hard time, but of course I'm incredibly grateful for it. It was my biggest dream come true.
I appreciate you speaking to that because I think sometimes people think it's going to be just like this, rose gold experience when you end up, getting your dreams. I guess it's like, Glinda says, and thank goodness getting your dreams is, a little well
It's a little,
complicated,
well, there's complicated. Yeah,
but
no, I mean, and it's both things, right? Like it's the dream and you're getting to live out, this fantasy of all the things. You're performing on Broadway and we went to the Tonys and, we did a cast recording and all of those things were everything I had ever wanted. And I was working with my heroes, Tom Kitt and Andy Blankenbuehler and Lin-Manuel. And but at the same time, yeah, there were major challenges, but that's every experience,
yeah, that's
Yeah.
fair. You were then part of Spider-Man. Were you Peter Parker?
I was, yeah. I played Peter Parker twice a week. So I did it every Wednesday, Saturday matinee, and then I was standing by the rest of the week. And
Okay.
that was the hardest thing I've ever done, ever, ever. That
Wow.
was, talk about challenging. That
Yeah.
was like running like a triathlon, because you were it's singing, acting, dancing, fight, choreography, flying. I mean, that show was really, really hard to do. And I only ended up doing it for about 4 months. I joined, I think, the summer before it closed.
Okay.
I think I joined in like August, and then we closed January, very early January of 2014. So I didn't do it for very long. And to be honest, I was kind of glad about that because it took a real toll on my body and my voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, those songs are crazy. So I can't even imagine adding all the other stuff on top of it. I never got the chance to
Yeah.
see Spider-Man, but
I mean, look, similar to Bring It On, there were people doing the physical athleticism in that show, the flying and the stunts and the effects. I mean, that was crazy. That was the strongest, bravest group of people I'd ever worked with, because say what you will about what happened and the accidents that happened and the injuries and all this. I mean, they were so strong, so committed, so unafraid to get out there and do it again the next day. Right? You
yeah.
think like something scary like that happens to you and you would leave, say, I'm never going to get out there and do it again. But yeah, these people would get out there and they would kind of put themselves on the line to do their job and tell that story. And it was really incredible to watch. Really, really inspired by that group of people.
That's amazing. There are so
Yeah.
many things I want to talk to you about, Jason, but
I know what you're about to do, Connor. I know what you're about to
wait,
do.
what am I going to
Uh-oh.
do? You tell me.
You're going
What's
to ask
happening?
about Gossip
I
Girl.
have to. I have to. I mean, was obsessed with the original show on the
Sure.
WB, CW, whatever it was by the time it ended. So I was
Yeah.
obviously
Right.
stoked for this continuation series that, same universe. They're mentioning, Blair and Chuck and Serena throughout the whole thing, but
Totally.
the new gen. And I have to say, like when it dropped that summer 2021, it felt like I was just obsessed, absolutely obsessed. And then the release schedule for it was like so fucked. I don't know why they were dropping episodes like in chunks throughout, whatever, but
Right.
obviously obsessed with Thomas Doherty as wait, hang on, I know the name. It's in my head, but I forget.
My God, do I even know the name?
What was he?
Oh, Max Wolf.
My God.
Yes.
He is so
Right?
gorgeous.
Yeah.
And that whole storyline was so fun because it was also like the 2020s version of it. Obviously, on every teen show, there was
Right.
like a teacher-student dynamic. But in this one, it was like
Sure.
he was, I mean, I guess there was the twist in it, but Max was really pursuing
Oh,
your
yeah.
teacher there,
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, that was interesting. The way that storyline was written was I found it really smart because it was really nuanced and complicated. And they purposefully cast someone who looked like he could be a younger teacher, where the age gap between the teacher and the student was pretty small. Of course, still like completely inappropriate
Right.
behavior.
Yeah.
And like my character should absolutely never have done what he did.
Yeah.
But the dynamics were interesting to explore and talk about. And yeah, I mean, Thomas is such a brilliant fucking actor and really the kindest human and truly one of the most beautiful human beings walking the earth. And I would tell him that all the time.
Of course.
But we had a blast working together. Yeah, he's amazing. And so yeah, sometimes I look back on that time and it feels like I dreamt it because it was during pandemic, which also I feel like we were all in a haze.
Yeah,
and you know, we were shooting that pretty early on in pandemic and it was my first TV show ever. And it was, you know, with all the PPE and all of that stuff. And so I was kind of learning this new thing and showing up on set, which was already such a different beast for everyone who had spent their lives working in TV. Like everyone was figuring out how to make this possible. Yeah. I look back on that time and I'm a little bit like, what the heck did we do? And it was my first and really only TV experience so far. And so it feels so weirdly isolated from the rest of my career, but it's this really incredible thing that I got to do, but yeah, kind of wild.
Yeah. Oh my God. You looked great. The whole thing was so fun. And
oh, yeah.
I loved the show. I love shows that take place in New York for starters. But it looked so expensive, like the locations that were filmed at, the costumes.
And it was. It was very expensive.
Yes.
And, you know, they didn't really cut corners. I mean, that show is all about just like, I mean, luxury and these really privileged teens who really are experiencing New York at its bougiest level. And yeah, I mean, we got to shoot scenes at places that I'd never been to. I mean, we were shooting that big like Halloween episode was at the Plaza, which I don't even think I'd ever been in the Plaza Hotel. I was born and raised in New York and I'd never stepped foot in there. So for me, I was like, this is fucking cool. Yeah, I'm glad you liked it because it definitely got, I would say, a mixed review from people who were diehard fans of the original because it really was its own thing. And when you have a big commercial entity like that, that has so many fans and had such an enormous following, people are going to have really hot takes about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm glad you enjoyed it.
For sure.
Would
oh
you
my
get
God.
Messages about it?
What kind of messages?
Oh.
like passionate fans, would they reach out or
yeah those
yes
messages,
no.
Not the other ones.
Well, look, people wouldn't message me directly. I mean, I know that like back when Twitter was a thing, people were all over. I mean, I avoided social media like the plague. Like any fan commentary, I really tried to avoid.
That's wise.
Yeah. Especially because it was my first real like foray into that kind of world. I was really careful about trying to protect myself. And what I was doing on the show was already so vulnerable and scary for me that I was like, let me just, stay in my lane, share this with my people, enjoy it for what it is, and try to stay away from that chaos as much as possible.
Yeah,
that is smart. I mean, because even if 90% of the comments were positive, I mean, I'm the type of person who would hyperfixate on the 10% that were, you know?
Totally. Just, yeah, and I've experienced it in the theater community too. Like, yeah, fans online are amazing. They're really passionate and supportive and they have really strong opinions. Yeah.
Totally.
You said it was a very vulnerable experience for you. Do you mean in terms of being on a TV show for the first time? Or is that also kind of mixed up in your character doing things like being naked often? You know, I mean, the sauna scenes live in memory forever.
Maybe. Yeah. No, I mean, it was all of those things. Yeah, it was, you know, I've never acted on camera before, so I don't really know what that is. And I'm learning about how this works, like being on set and just the mechanics of that and what that is. And you know, getting on set and learning that there was really no rehearsal. There was no real time to like do the work that I'm used to doing in the theater world. And so it's really trusting that your first instinct is enough. And then, of course, there was all this intimacy stuff. And pretty much every episode that I was in had some sort of intimacy moment. And that was also really intimidating. And yeah, I don't know, not to get too deep about it, but when you're playing a character that is like the object of desire, who people talk about and refer to as like super hot or whatever, like that just comes with expectations that are scary, especially growing up the way I did, you know, not like really ever feeling like I was going to be seen that way. So that was, that was the vulnerable part about it. But of course, what a dream. And it was such a blast. And, but again, it's like every amazing experience also comes with its challenges, right? It's like, it's everything.
Absolutely. You know, you also mentioned like with doing TV, there's not much rehearsal. Something else that I know has a tiny rehearsal window is the City Center Encores productions.
No, totally.
And something else that I just loved you in was Evita. I mean, we had Slaya Pfeiffer on a year ago and I told her how obsessed I am with it. And gosh, what a dream team the two of you were in that show.
Oh
it was
gosh.
so good. I love that production. Congrats on it.
Six years later, but you know. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. That was 6 years ago, wasn't it? 2019.
Five and a half.
No, you're so right. I mean, that was another one of my favorite things I've ever done. I loved that role. I've done two things at City Center. I love it there so much. And Sammy Canold, our director, is so brilliant. I was so happy to work with her. Yeah, another epic show that I really had no connection to or history with. And so I came at it with fresh eyes. And yeah, it was a blast. And Saleha is incredible. I'm literally her number one fan, star.
Oh, was there ever like hope that would have another, you know, rendition, or Sammy's at least direction would happen again?
There was a lot of talks about it, and they went on to do two different productions of it. I think ART and one in DC somewhere.
Yes, actually, you're so right.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. And I know Shireen.
Yeah, Shireen.
Mintel, she is a friend, and she kind of did those two productions. Yeah. So there was some talk about that. Saleha and I had kind of moved on to other things, and yeah, I know there was hope, but yeah. And look, maybe it's not on the shelf forever. I hope it comes back to Broadway, because I think Sammy's vision of it was really special. And I think right now her kind of perspective on that character and that story would really be appropriate for where we are culturally. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Absolutely. Yeah, you never know.
Wait, Jason, you're married, of course. And how did you meet your husband?
Peter Pan Live on NBC.
Oh, gosh. Wait, I didn't know this.
Oh, I mean, I love telling the story. And if you know me, you know the story, but we were both Lost Boys on Peter Pan Live. My husband had just graduated University of Michigan, 2014, came to New York. It was his first job here. I had been in the city for a few years, and we had a mutual friend who said, oh my gosh, you guys are going to be Lost Boys together. You're going to love each other. And we met, and truly immediately I was like, all I want is to spend time with this person. I want to be next to them. I want to get to know them. And he was just such a star. I mean, he's going to be mad that I'm bragging about him, but whatever. When when we did that show, the Lost Boys, there were 10 of us. And, you know, it was some of the best dancers in New York. I mean, it was like me and the Newsies, basically, is what I always tell people, which was terrifying. But this little boy from Michigan was just like dancing circles around everybody. And anytime Rob Ashford, our director of choreographer, needed anyone to demonstrate anything, he would call on Michael and be like, okay, let's all watch Michael do it. And I was like, who is this little joyful man?
Aww.
So talented, so sweet. Yeah, and we fell in love, and yeah, we've been together ever since, 10 and a half ish years ago now.
Oh my gosh, a decade of love.
I know, wild.
Wait, so did you guys like start dating during the Peter Pan? It was
a few weeks, and it was kind of like a showman's. Yeah, and we were just having the best time, because the whole thing felt kind of high stakes, but you know, for us it was kind of low stakes, because we were basically in the ensemble, so we didn't really have to worry about too much, and we had the best time together. Yeah. Aww. Really fun.
Was Allison Williams in the periphery while all of this was occurring?
She was, yes, but I mean, she had bigger fish to fry. She had so much more to worry about. We were just all like fucking around.
Yeah,
but she was so amazing to work with, actually. So generous, so kind, worked so hard, and was so kind to us, and we were all so proud of her.
Oh yeah, she killed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did.
I miss those live musicals.
Taylor Lautner too.
Yeah, yeah. And I got to work with Taylor again. She was also so beautiful in that. It was an amazing cast. And I think, we were the second one that they ever did. Sound of Music was first, and we were second. And what they did with us was totally different. They tried to kind of like make it a little more immersive and get the camera like all up in some of the choreography we were doing. And I just love how ambitious they were, those live musicals. And it was something that we hadn't really seen before. So it was really cool to be a part of it early on. Yeah. You know?
I hope that they come back in some way eventually.
I hope so too. Yeah, yeah. It was cool to just see. I mean, yeah, it would bring theater people to America's living room, basically, which I love to see.
Yeah.
Now, Jason, do you feel like you have another solo show in you in the near future? I know you're busy with Fort Collins,
yes,
but the people want the voice. Absolutely.
I mean, I love doing concerts. I love doing solo shows. What I got to do with Audible Theater was truly one of my favorite things I've ever done, if not my favorite thing I've ever worked on. They were so amazing in kind of allowing me to create this show and giving me all these resources and letting my imagination run wild. And I loved it. I had an amazing director, and I got to do it for 3 nights at the Minetta Lane Theater in the Village. It was such a dream come true. And I would love to write more. And yeah, I love doing solo show concert stuff. So yes, More to come.
And it's available to
Definitely.
stream on Audible, right?
Yeah, please do. Where You'll Find Me, check it out. So interesting. I loved working on it, but now going back, of course, there's so many things that I would change. So yeah, I need to get another crack at it.
Yeah. Did
there
they
will be more.
Record it every single night and then they just pulled bits from each of it?
Mm-hmm.
Or was, okay.
Yeah, there was a whole editing process where, yeah, we would pick like bits and bobs from different shows and it was all edited together to create like the version.
What was your favorite song that you got to do as part of it?
Oh, that's such a good question. I love them all. Well, I sang Mama a Rainbow, which was dedicated to my mother, which is one of the most beautiful songs of all time. I did Over the Rainbow, of course. I got to sing, which I sing a lot in concert, Before It's Over from Dogfight, Aspen Paul.
So much.
It's a beautiful, beautiful song.
So
yeah.
good.
That's another one of my favorites. Yeah. But all you listeners, check it out. It's awesome. And there's so many other amazing Broadway actors who have done Amber Amon, Saleha, Alex Newell. Yeah. A lot of cool shows.
Oh my God, that's like
there.
The perfect thing if you're like ever going on a road trip. You just like can listen
totally.
To them all back to back.
Totally. Yeah.
Oh, that's so fun.
Now, Jason, we're sadly wrapping up our chat here on the pod, but before we say goodbye, we have to end with a dose of drama, a little pop culture wreck, that thing that's on our minds to leave our listeners
Gosh.
With as they go out into the world to consume even more drama.
This is hard because all of the pop culture things that I'm into right now are already so popular. You know what I mean? Like, it's so boring to be like Severance, White Lotus, like what am I listening to? The new Gaga album that just came
right.
out. Like,
I know.
All of these things don't need plugging. Do you know what I
but
mean?
But you know what? I view
I
it as just like, this will be a time capsule. So like,
yeah,
just,
it's
you,
true.
You know what I mean? Like, I agree with you though. I always try to be like different and off the beaten path.
A little different. Wait, I have to tell you, Dylan hasn't watched it yet, but I just 2 weekends ago, I finished season one of Severance.
Okay, same. I just finished it very recently. So
really?
You and I are on the same journey.
We're synced up here. Were you like shaking, like gasping at that finale? Like it was
1000%.
It was one of the most
shaken
thrilling things
to my core.
I know.
And we are very lucky because that was a major cliffhanger ending at the end of season
oh,
one.
Yeah.
And we got to like immediately start season two and find out what happened. But I didn't even realize this. The rest of the world had to wait like 3 years.
Insane.
Oh, wow.
That's insane to me.
I know. It is insane.
Like, and cruel, honestly. It's cruel that you would finish on such a cliffhanger and make people wait.
I know.
3 years?
I know. Crazy.
That's wild.
I actually haven't started season two yet. I had a few other shows. I was like, I need to finish. But everyone says it's even
How
better.
Is that even possible?
I know.
How is that possible? Don't you want to know what happened?
He has like, willpower that's like crazy, I guess.
I was kind of like
that's
savoring
insane.
It for when I could really sit there and enjoy, you know?
Sure. I respect that. It's going to be there when you're ready for it.
Will.
But I am having a great time watching season two, I will say.
You're loving it. And you're...
Check it out.
I definitely, definitely. And so you're loving Mayhem, I take it. Gaga's new.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
What are my favorites? What is it? Zombie Boy?
Oh, yes.
So good. That's in my
Shadow
top
of
three.
A Man.
That's my top three for sure.
What about you guys?
Love Drug was my... At the gym today, I was like,
sure.
It ended and I would like start it over. Song.
Yep.
Living
yep.
for it.
I'm currently like deep in the lake of How Bad Do You Want Me? Which...
Oh.
Is
yes. Oh, also Killa, big fan.
So good.
Killa's
love
fun.
Garden of Eden. Also
Garden of Eden.
The whole
yeah.
album
that feels timeless. It feels yep. like a timeless song.
No,
yeah.
The whole album is. It's just full of bangers. I'm obsessed that she's like it, back in her like pop banger era.
Yeah.
This
mm-hmm.
is ushering us into the warm weather. Like it's
yep.
all. It's all working together.
I know.
I'm thrilled.
Did you ever go on? Did you ever do any of those like? His name is Ty Sunderland. He like organized those parties. He would do those boats that
yes.
would go around.
Oh,
like,
oh yeah. The Pride Boat, 718
yeah.
Sessions.
The Pride Boats. Yeah.
yeah.
I'm suddenly like feeling like I need to hear this music on one of those boats.
I
you know?
Couldn't. That is what I do for Pride every year, basically.
Yeah,
I,
one of the boats.
I love,
yeah.
love, love that party when I am out and about celebrating, which is not often because,
yes.
you know, I'm old now, so I can only really do that like once every couple months. But
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Floyd Collins will be running, right? Is
it will. Yeah. Well, it's a limited run at the moment until June 22nd.
Okay.
So at the moment, Pride weekend is free, but we'll
know.
See what happens.
Might extend.
Yeah.
Wait, I actually, when I heard Zombie Boy for the first time, I was like, wait, could this be at Mother Disco next time? Like remixed in some fun way. I was like, hell
1000%.
Hell
yes,
yeah.
It absolutely. It should be. It absolutely should be.
So good. Oh my God. I'm obsessed with it. Okay, wait. Who was like your favorite pop girl? Like, you know, of all the gals, the Beyoncés, the Arianas, the Taylors, the Gagas, the, you know.
Oh my gosh. This is such a great conversation. I mean, I think for me, my number one of all time is Beyoncé. Like,
oh, yes.
it has to be. Love Ariana. Also, I'm a big Dua Lipa girly.
Ooh.
Love Dua Lipa. Love her new album.
She's back in the studio.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she just posted. Yeah. She posted herself from the studio. She's coming.
We love to hear it.
I love the new album too. And I feel like a lot of people were hating on it a little bit for some reason, but.
Yeah, it kind of got overlooked because all of the pop girlies were coming out with new music last year. And I felt like
it was a big spring.
She kind of like got swept under the rug, but I was living for the new album. Big fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love her vibe, love her songs. But yeah, no Beyonce, Renaissance tour, have my tickets for Cowboy Carter, ready to go. Yeah,
yes.
I'm excited.
Wait, when are you going? I'm going on Thursday.
Well, the only one I can go to is Sunday night after a matinee of Floyd Collins. Oh. So, I mean,
I keep forgetting that you're like scheduled. I'm like, are you going to Mother Disco?
No, I forget too, honestly, because I really have to like fit things into my schedule. But luckily, I mean, I'm so happy that there was one performance that I could go to. So my matinee will come down at like 5:30 and the concert starts at 7. So I'm just going to fly basically to MetLife.
Is it out in, yeah, it's out there again. Oh
it
my
is,
gosh.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
always an adventure.
Indeed.
It's so hard to get back there and back.
I will travel to the end of the earth for my queen. So yes. I'm thrilled to do it. I cannot wait.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you got a couple doses of drama going on. We had Severance. You got Mayhem.
White Lotus, obviously. White Lotus. New season of RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, mm-hmm. of course, you know, we're big Survivor fans in this house.
Oh, I
love the reality TV.
I've never done Survivor.
It's a new addition into the rotation for us. This is only the third season that we're watching, but we're into it.
My most experience with Survivor is when the contestants are on The Traitors. And so I get to know like Parvati's, you know, different people like that through this most recent season. You know, there was a couple Survivor people, but it's an intimidating thing to start a long running.
I understand that. But I think, just get into the newest season and it's just going to suck you right in. We love it. It's kind of a curveball that we love it so much. But yeah, we're kind of living for it. It's just great. Great TV. I love that I'm plugging Survivor right now. Like,
oh, I know, it's like,
God,
I know.
You're like,
this is your current thing, though. I love it.
Yeah.
Connor, do you feel like you have something?
I do. Okay, I'm feeling like this season of Drag Race, I've loved it. It's been so entertaining. I'm totally in, as always. I've decided I want Sam Starr to win.
Okay.
I'm just putting that out there here. I've fallen in love with her over the course of the whole thing. And I think she really nails it every time in the challenges and on the runway.
I agree.
And I think she's just cute and fun. And it's been a while since, well, Jada was a pageant queen and won, but
yeah,
I love Sam. I think she's so cute and fun. And I like that she's opened up more and I'm all in for Sam Starr.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
Her Cher thing was fun.
The Cher performance was legendary. She's really just like coming into herself and relaxing. And she's funny.
Yeah.
She's really so funny. And she's gorgeous.
Oh my God.
She's stunning. Yeah. And her drag is polished and elevated. But I don't know. Anya Nerve is going to be hard to beat. Because she's really killing every challenge. She hasn't really dropped the ball. The Betsy Johnson challenge, not her finest moment.
Yeah.
But she's still, the star quality is crazy.
True.
For the little amount of time she's been doing drag, wild.
True.
I know. And you know, she's
and
a Cleveland girl, and Connor and I are Cleveland girls ourselves.
Oh, right.
So gotta rep our hometown.
Yeah, but I agree. Sam Starr, she's slowly working her way to the top.
Yeah. She's been such a grower for me.
Yeah.
It's been wild.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Which we love to see. We love to see like an arc on a show like that with someone who you like, you know, kind of see as a contender and then just really like lets loose and emerges. But yeah, I don't know. Anya's really, she's coming for
it. It is amazing. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
I think they're a top four, you know, in general. Maybe with throwing a little Lexi Love.
Totally.
Maybe Jules.
I love me some Jules Sparkles. I really
me
do.
Too.
Poor girl really like got the brunt of it last week.
She did.
I was bummed.
She stayed
her.
Classy. She stayed classy.
She did. And when her jokes got stolen, I'm like, are we not going to talk about this more? Like, is no one going to address that this happened? Like, what?
Apparently, she decided, she was like, I'm not going to bring it up unless Ariadne does. So I'm just going to let it go. And if it's not shown on the show, it's not shown on the show.
Well, I love her for taking the high road, because that would not have been me. I would be like, we're going to talk about the fact. Like, how is this not?
I know.
That episode was dramatic.
Crazy.
That roast. Like,
it was. And it was a little uncomfortable to watch. Like, I felt like I couldn't enjoy it because the tension was so thick that I was a little bit like, this roast is weird because I can't like really laugh because there's so much anxiety surrounding it. Like, Yeah, it was a weird
It was
one,
crazy.
but
Yeah, I
and then
know.
Lexi was going through whatever it's Lexi was going through, and so there was just a lot of stuff. People were having a lot of
Yes,
feelings.
yeah.
A lot of
They've been there a
feelings.
while. They've
Yeah.
been in the Thunderdome many weeks now.
And I feel like we're only halfway
I
through the
know.
Queens at
Can't
this
believe
point.
it.
I'm obsessed, though. I wish the seasons lasted forever, so I'm not mad at it personally. I'm fine with it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Dylan, do you have a dose of drama to end with? I know we've covered so much, but anything, Dylan?
No, we really have.
Okay. It's only because it's top of mind, and Connor and I, after this, are recording a podcast with our friend Morgan about this movie. But Jason, did you ever see the movie She's the Man? It was like starring Amanda Bynes and Channing Tatum,
Oh
like
man, I know
from like
what movie you're
2006.
talking about. I'm sure that I did, but I don't remember. I don't remember watching it. Do I need to revisit it?
It's delicious.
Okay.
We had to we revisited it for this podcast we're going to be doing, and I have to just say it was a damn delight to watch this, hour and a half long movie. It had a lot to say, is I guess what I'm going to say about it. It's based on Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, and it's Channing Tatum at what I believe to be his hottest.
Okay.
And yeah, well, he's like giving like jock soccer player in this movie, and not like beefcake daddy that he gives in like Magic Mike. And
Sure, sure,
so
sure.
more my vibe. And Amanda Bynes,
Ah, so
timeless
good.
talent. We don't have physical comedians like that anymore.
Yeah.
And she really did the thing. And I recommend if anyone wants like a fun throwback watch, She's the Man. Get
Okay.
into it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you really dug that out of like the archives of my brain. Like I forgot
Yeah.
that movie existed, but you're kind of selling me on it. And maybe I'll have to listen to
Why
your
not?
podcast when you like break it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I'll send you the links. And like, Jason, this has been so much fun. I feel like we could chat with you forever. Thank you for coming and doing the show. It means a lot.
And same. Thank you guys for inviting me. You've had so many legends on this podcast, and I'm just thrilled to be among you. And yeah, you're both great. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Everybody
Oh,
needs to
that means
follow
a
you on
lot.
Instagram at Jason Gauthier.
That's
And are you
right.
on any other social platforms?
Honestly, no. I am not. I have a TikTok. I've
Good.
never reposted, posted literally anything. I don't even know why I have it.
Do you scroll at
I
least?
don't. I mean, Instagram for me is
Okay.
kind of like enough. And I'm trying to, yeah, stay away from even that as much as I can. My husband is amazing. My husband is kind of like, he's not really on social media, never posts, and we are trying to disconnect from our phones. It's not really working, but we want to. The thought is there.
I
I
appreciate
respect
your
that.
wellness vibe. Like less social media. You're like, I'm, cutting out the bad stuff while I'm in Floyd Collins. It's really admirable.
Thank you. Thank you for saying, I'm only partially successful some of the time, but I gotta take care of ourselves, man, whatever that means. And it means something different for everybody. But yeah, social media, I'm trying to, and we talked about it a little bit before we officially began, but it's that fine line of being a person in this business. You want to have a presence on it, but you want to be authentic, and you also don't want to stay too attached to it. It's a hard balance to find. Anyway, I'm keeping this conversation going. I never want it to end, but I'm gonna let you
Oh
go
my
because
God, no, I know, I know,
you
we
need
love
to
it.
talk about She's the Man on this other podcast, and I would really love to interrupt that. So
My gosh, you're so funny. Well, while everyone's following Jason, they've got to follow us. We're at the Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Jason, I cannot wait to see you in Floyd Collins. And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama!
drama.